Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
We are the body of Christ. That means He wears us. Just like you're a spirit and you wear this physical body, you wear a physical body, Christ wears you. Each one of us is a body part of Christ. You are His flesh and blood. That's who we are. Somebody say, Christ in me. God lives in me. Amen. You're an exciting person. And you're around some exciting people. You are around fellow members of the body of Christ. God expresses Himself through you and those around you. So those are the kind of folks you want to hang out with. You want to hang around with fellow members of the body of Christ. People of like faith. And that's one of the reasons why God has raised up local churches, is so that His body parts can come together and fellowship together and work together and edify one another and build one another up. That's why He says over in Ephesians chapter 4, let's go there this morning. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, in verse 11, it says, and He Himself, talking about Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children, talking about spiritual children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, speaking God's word in the love of God, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part, are you a part? Yes. Are you a part, a body part, yes, in the body of Christ? Notice He says that every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love, the building up of itself in love. So God has purposed to bring us together under the fivefold ministry gifts. Here He mentions the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. He brings us into a church, gets us under a pastor. And of course, we have special ministry gifts that come in. Just last week, we had a special ministry gift, a teacher in the body of Christ, come and minister to us here last Sunday morning. And we'll have others in the days ahead. Over the years, God has led me to have different apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to come in and assist in the equipping of the saints. But yet, not just the fivefold ministry gifts are to be helping to build up, edify, and grow up the body. But the body parts themselves are to be pulling and pushing and moving each other into a place of spiritual growth, edifying one another. So we need one another. God has designed it that way. If you want to grow up in Christ, if you want to become the mature, perfect person that God has created you to be, then you need the people around you. You need to be connected to a church. It isn't a little supplement that, you know, a lot of people have that idea, you know, they could just, you know, go to church when it feels convenient and when they want to go and things like that. And they treat it very lightly, but that's not God's plan for your life. As a child of God, as a Christian, his plan for you is to be vitally connected to his body. And he sets you in the body as it pleases him, the Bible tells us. So he sets you among certain believers, certain body parts that are going to help you, that are going to build you up, that are going to cause you to grow up like no other part of the body would be able to do. He knows what's best for you. So we need each other in order to grow one another up. I'm going to read that verse again, verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together. We are joined and knit together. We need to be joined and knit together. Sounds close, don't it? Sounds kind of intimate. You know, we're talking about a body part. You know, body parts are pretty close. They're pretty connected. I mean, it'd be pretty weird if I woke up one morning and go, where'd my finger go? And I find out my finger is in the other room. I left my finger in the other room. And I get up and I go look for my finger. And then as I go to get up and look for my finger, I realize my foot's gone. Where'd my foot go? I was sleeping and my foot went somewhere else. It took a walk. And now I got to try to find my foot, you know, and I'm going around, and next thing you know, I'm missing something else, you know. And then you got your body parts all in different places of the house. Well, that'd be a mess, wouldn't it? No, that doesn't work that way. We know the body parts all stick together. They stick together. They're knit together. They're joined together. They're close together. See, that's how we need to see ourselves. Connected. Connected to the body of Christ. A member that is a part of the body of Christ. Not just a body part that's just kind of drifting out here. Some kind of artificial body part that somebody can attach once in a while, you know, when they need it. You know, a fake leg or something like that. No. God wants you to be a living leg. A living leg with a living legacy. Building a living legacy. Of walking with Jesus, right? For future generations to follow. That's what he's looking for from you and I. We got to see ourselves here. This is his will for your life. Joined. The whole body joined, knit together by what every joint supplies. Your supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, your supply of anointing, your supply of faith is vital to the development of the body of Christ. To your development and the development of those that you care about. Those that you love. Those that God has connected you to. You're vital to them. What every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Are you doing your share? You got to be doing your share. Somebody says, I didn't know I had a share. You got a share in this. And there's things you're to do. There's things you're to do. There's things you're to be giving and supplying when it comes to the church that God sets you in. That's what you're supposed to be doing. You're not here to just be idle. You're to be giving your supply. Of course, right now, if you're here and you're in faith, and you're drawing on the anointing of God, and you're believing with us for his glory, if you're believing with us that Christ would be revealed to us, that there'd be greater manifestations and understanding of him, see, then that is helping the person next to you. Your drawing, your believing is affecting what happens today. But then to just stop today. It's something that is to continue. We are to stay connected with each other. We come together for church services, but we are to stay vitally connected to each other throughout the week. How do you do that? Pray for one another. Communicate with one another. Why is it that when church is over that everybody just goes each their own way and there's no connection with one another anymore? Now we just go and we connect with all the carnal people of the world. We connect with unsaved family members. We connect with acquaintances. We connect with people at work. We connect with all kinds of people in the grocery store and wherever we go in life. And yet we're not staying vitally knitted together and connected and aware of those that grow us up, the ones that we need the most. See, we need each other. And so it's up to you to do your part to make sure you're doing your part. You can't just sit here and I'm waiting for somebody to invite me or someone to ask me or someone to, everybody's usually, you know, so many people are waiting for someone else to be hospitable and reach out and do something in order to connect with them or pull them in closer. Everybody's looking for a special invitation to come in closer. You just got your invitation this morning. Come in closer. Come in closer. Everybody can come in closer. You don't have to wait. Reach out, connect, be hospitable, invite people over, get to know people, get to know your fellow members. Try to have some fellowship, at least on the phone, with some believers that got some faith. We need to surround ourselves with people of like faith. We can't surround ourselves with unbelief all week long, unbelievers all week long, and expect to be strong spiritually. It's not God's design. It's very important that you fellowship with the right people. The Bible tells us over in 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, it says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." Evil company corrupts good habits. How many people got some bad company that they hang out with or have to associate with and be around throughout the week, usually? Huh? You get around some people that, "I got one hand in the house." Wow, you guys must all work in a Christian bookstore. How many people, I mean, from the moment you leave church, you start associating, connecting, and are around the influence of people that do not know the Lord. They live in unbelief. Well, the Bible says unbelief is evil. So that's evil company. We're around evil company a lot because we're in this world. Well, he says, don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So we have to do something to counter the evil company. Well, what do? We make sure that we hang out with and surround ourselves with God company, with good company, with believers of like faith. The Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, it says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." Now, this is a powerful, powerful proverb. I mean, there's no wiggle room in this. There's no maybe. Just like he tells us in Corinthians 15, evil company corrupts. Don't be deceived. It does. You got stuff trying to corrupt you all the time. You got stuff trying to wear on your faith and corrode your morals all the time. And don't be deceived. It's work, and it will succeed unless you do something to counter it. You got to do stuff to counter it. Of course, you have to have your own time with the Lord. You got to lock in your time with Him. You know, it's hard to backslide when you keep yourself vitally connected to God in prayer. You keep yourself vitally connected to the Word of God. It's hard, not impossible, because that's just a part of it. It's very important that you associate, fellowship, connect with people that will help build your faith up. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. Just like evil company corrupts, iron, good company, will sharpen. You need to be sharpened. We don't need to have our swords dull. And so many times people just, they're out there, they're just working, you know, just like a knife that's used for in the kitchen, you know. You just keep using the thing, they never sharpen the thing, it just gets duller and duller and duller. I mean, there's some knives you could rub your hand across it and won't even cut your hand, unless you really press into it, you know. I mean, it needs to be sharpened. Well, if you're just all week long, just chopping, 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 bless your heart. Thank God you're chopping. You're using the word. Thank God for it. But you need to get around some other folks that are using the word. And you guys need to use the word on each other. And you need to associate with each other. And you need to stir one another up. Stir up the gifts in one another. Encourage one another. The Bible says to do it daily while it's called today, lest anyone be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Stir one another up. Because we got a world that's trying to dull us down, get us to back down, be cowardly concerning our faith. So we need one another to do the opposite, to build one another up. And he says, if you hang out with wise people, who are wise men? The wise men are the ones that look for Jesus. We talk about them at Christmas time, don't we? They follow the bright and morning star. They're looking for Jesus. They love the word of God. They're wise according to the word, not wise according to the wisdom of this world. I'm talking about real wise men. He says, if you hang out with wise men, what's going to happen to you? If you walk with the wise, you're going to end up wise. What a deal. Though you may be goofy, though you may be foolish, if you got wise friends, they will help you become wise. However, if you're born again, love God, saved, and got some wisdom about you, and do nothing but hang out with a bunch of fools, you will lose your wisdom, and you will be a fool. In fact, he says, the companion of fools will be destroyed. Companions. Who you pal around with? Who are your companions in life? Who are those that you gather with in times of trouble? Who are those that you connect with? Who are those that you run to? If your companions are fools, and what is a fool? Someone that doesn't put their trust in the living God. That's a fool. That's according to the book of Proverbs, according to the word of God, a fool is someone who doesn't put their trust in the living God. Now, there's a lot of people that say, I'm a Christian, but I'm talking about people that put their trust in the living God. I'm talking about people that live and walk by faith. So if you're a companion of fools, it'll destroy you. And that's why a lot of folks experience a lot of destruction in their life. They experience a lot of problems in their life. One of the ways the devil seeks to destroy Christians is to isolate them. He likes to isolate Christians from one another because he knows we need one another. And we don't want to be an isolated person. We don't want to allow ourselves to be isolated. That's putting ourselves in the place of destruction. Because if we're isolated from other believers, all we're left with is a bunch of fools. And a companion of fools will be destroyed. So we want to hang around with iron. In other words, we want to hang out with strong believers. And I got news for you. We got a pack of them right here this morning. That's what we're grooming here at Life of Faith Bible Church. Strong believers. Not milk toast believers. You dip your toast in milk, what happens to it? It's just a soggy mess. We don't have soggy saints. Are you with me this morning? We don't have soggy saints. We don't encourage soggy saints. We don't talk to you like you're a soggy saint. We expect bigger and better of you. Amen. You come in here soggy, we're going to put you back in the toaster. Put some heat on you. We're not going to sit here and just go, oh, you little sweetie. We're going to toast you. So if you ever walk out of here feeling toasted, bless God, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Because we're not going to have soggy saints. We want saturated saints. Saturated with the life of God. Strong in the Lord. That's what you need to be. You'll be that if you associate and hang out with other strong believers. And then you can actually make each other stronger. You actually grow yourself up. You grow one another up. You pull on one another and you strengthen one another. You're there encouraging one another. And that's actually causing you to get even stronger. Man, don't you want to get stronger? Don't you want to get better? We got to come together with our own company. God has a company that he wants you to be a part of. We see that with the early church over in Acts chapter 4. Church was off to a bang of a start. Power of God was manifesting. Great things were happening and persecution rose up. Life-threatening persecution arose. And the apostles were taken and they were severely, they were beaten and they were threatened. And then they were let go. And the Bible says here in Acts, the 4th chapter, in verse 23, and being let go, they went home to their house and watched the news. Now, they went home to their own house and went into their prayer closet and prayed. No. They did pray. But when they were let go, they went to their own companions. See, they knew who their companions were. They had their own company. Their own company. That's what the King James says, it, their own company. I read out of the New King James, it says their own companions. But they had their own company of believers that they were able to go to in this time where they had been severely threatened. God wants you to have your own company. And he wants you to be close enough to them that in the time of need, you can run to them. Yeah, there's no facades. There's no trying to impress one another. There's none of this nonsense. Well, you know, everybody, you know, the more isolated we are, the more fake it all becomes. The more difficult it is to be real. Because, you know, we end up becoming so private that we don't share our personal life. And then when we get used to not sharing our personal life, then it's like we don't want people to know our personal life. Like, I have problems. I don't have any problems. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, and there's no running to anybody. And I think at times there are people, they feel trapped, they feel tormented, they're going through something, and they just sit there and they don't feel the connection. They don't feel the connection. And what's really sad and arrogant is when people like that walk out and say, I just don't connect with them, and then they go somewhere else when it was their responsibility to help to make the connection. You know, the Bible even says that over in the book of James, it says, is there anyone sick among you? Let him sit at home and wait for the elders of the church to figure it out that he's missing from service and call him. It doesn't say that. It says, is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Hello? Help? And let them pray for them. Let him pray for him. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. I need prayer. But you see, you're a faith person. You can't let people know that you need their prayers. You can't let them know they need your help. They think you're a strong believer. Of course, not doing them any good because you're not doing anything for them because you're isolated. But at least you're a strong believer over here somewhere and then everybody can feel that way about you. It's a mess. See, it's a lie from the devil. They ran to their own company. They had their own company to go. And in the time of trials and tests in life, they went to their own company. They had their own company that they were connected to and felt comfortable with enough to be able to go to and say, hey, let's pray. Let's pray. Build relationships. Build relationships with fellow believers. It's a matter of life or destruction. You need to build strong relationships with other believers. And these are the believers. And I'm telling you, these are some of the best right here. Life Faith Bible Church has some of the best in the land. So how do you know that? I have discernment. I mean, I don't know everybody in the land, but I know we got some good believers here. We got some good believing believers. You know, there's a lot of unbelieving believers. There are believers in name only, but when it comes to the trials of life or living according to the word of God, they're going to follow man's wisdom. They're going to follow the world's way of doing things. And their believing just ain't there. So we want to be around believing believers. That's who you want to connect yourself. That's what you want to be. And if you're not there, how do you get there? Hang out with them. Don't sit there and go, well, you know, I'm just not like them. Okay. Why is it people just want to hang out with people that they're like? How do you get any better? People, many times, they flock to the people they're comfortable with. They look for the people that are like them. Milk toasty. That's what they look. They look for people like them, and they want to associate and connect with people that are like them. Because that's what they're comfortable with. I'm comfortable with Agnes because Agnes has a lot of problems like me, and she lets everybody know she has a lot of problems like me. And Agnes and I really relate with each other. Okay, well, you and Agnes, just go ahead and just work on each other's unbelief. That's going to get you somewhere. Huh? But this is what people do. People go where they're comfortable. They associate with those that they're used to. But God wants to get you around people that you're not comfortable around because they're so different. They like live on a higher level than you. They don't think and talk like you. They're kind of weird to you. But you know they got the goods. You know they got faith. Those are the kind of people you want to get around if you want to come up. If you want to come up to a higher place, those are the people you want to get around. Well, my parents were like this. My grandparents were like this. And, you know, this is just how we are. This is just what we're used to. You know, I was raised this way. Well, it's time to be raised again. It's time to die to that and be re-raised. Yeah. See, God doesn't want you to just have a church membership. He doesn't want you to just be a member of a church. He wants you to be a member of a family. He wants you to be a family member, not just have a church membership. Family. People you can run to in a time of need. People that you can imitate, people you can look up to, big brothers and sisters that you can look up to, that will help grow you up. And some people they've got to leave their family, man. They got to limit the amount of time they spend with their family members according to the flesh, and start increasing the time they spend with their church family. Because this is what church is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a family. Again, we're a body. We're a family. We're united. We are one. We're a company of believers together, fighting for each other, working together for a common cause, growing one another up, growing up to be like Christ. To be like him, to be perfect in his righteousness. Can you say amen? Amen. So we need to get ourselves around fellow believers that, you know, we call family. And that might mean not spending so much time with your natural family, depending on whether this is different for everybody. Your natural family might be a part of the family, same family of God that you're a part of. But we see that even with Abraham, if you go back to Genesis chapter 12. God saw faith in Abraham. And he knew that if Abraham was going to be able to grow in his faith and be used by God the way God wanted to use him in life, it was something Abraham was going to have to do. He was going to have to change who he was hanging around with. He was going to have to change who he was always fellowshipping with, who he associated with. And that's why God said to him in verse 1, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." Notice what he had to do. He had to change the company he kept. It was key to God being able to bless him. It was key to him being able to be a blessing. He had to leave his family in order for him to walk in the fullness of the faith and plan of God for his life. How many people want to walk in the fullness of the plan of God for your life? Then we have to be sensitive to the Spirit of God in these areas. We can't allow ourselves to just continue to be around what we've traditionally been around when it is contrary to where we say we're going in God. If we want to go in God to those higher places, then we're going to hang out with people that are going there and even those that have gone before us and have gotten to some of those places that we haven't gotten to. Find them. Find the strong ones. Don't be intimidated by them. Because if they're real people of faith, then they are real people of love. And they're not going to judge you and criticize you for not knowing some of the things they know or living in a way that is lower than where they're living. They're going to want to help you, support you, strengthen if they are the true blue deal. If they're the real thing, if they're a genuine believer, genuinely mature in spiritual things, they're going to support you and help you. So there should be no intimidation. The more spiritual someone is, the less intimidating they should be. Because the more of a person of love they are. It's fleshy people that can be intimidating. Because they're always judging you. They're always sizing you up. They're always in their heart and mind criticizing you and comparing you and thinking about what you didn't do or what you did do and you didn't say, what you should have said. Those folks are tough. Fleshy people are tough. They can be a little intimidating sometimes, you know. It's like, dear God, you know, it's work. But people of love, people of faith, whoo, glory be to God, they're refreshing. I said, they're refreshing. They're a blessing. They'll strengthen you. They'll help you, and they want to help you. Can you say amen? Because they understand that they weren't born a person of faith. They had to grow, and they had to come through the same trials and tests that you might currently be walking through right now. And they look and go, I've been there. I know what that feels like. Man, I can't sit here and look down on you because I've been exactly, and if it wasn't for the grace of God, I never would have gotten through that and gotten to where I am now. So Abraham, he went out. He had to get out from his family, from his father's house. And God wanted to connect him now, reestablish a new family for Abraham. A family of faith. A family of faith. That, you know, that was the original name of this church. It was very clearly God had spoken to me. When I came here, 25 years ago this month. 25 years ago this month, we came here and started Family of Faith Fellowship Church. That was the name of it. Then when we got out on this property and built this building, I besought the Lord I wanted to change the name. And I said, but I'll keep that, you know, I'll keep that in the name, Lord. You know, we'll call it Life of Faith Bible Church, a family of faith and fellowship. Praise God. And it seemed good to me and the Holy Ghost. And so we changed the name. But originally that was the heart of God, to raise up a place called Family of Faith Fellowship. Faith is its middle name. And then it's family and it's fellowship. That's God's heart. That's God's will for this place. That was his design, for you to be not a church member, but a family member, a member of the body of Christ. That was his design for you. That's why he's brought you here and he has set you in this place. So we got to make sure we're doing our part. We're doing our share. And Abraham went out. He left where he had been raised up. He left all his comfortable surroundings, the comfortable way that they talked and acted. And God said, I got to change you. I got to change the way you talk. I got to change the way you act. There's so many things I got to change here. Abraham, you got to get out of here. You're going to have to leave here. And so Abraham comes out and goes out and pioneers a new family, blazes a new trail. And the Bible says in verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And Lot went with him. And Lot went with him. Lot was Abram's nephew. It was his brother's son, but Abram's brother had died. And so he had taken Lot as his own son. You know, took him on as his own son to take care of him and to watch over and protect him. So Lot went with them. So Lot had this great opportunity, you know. He's with the man who today is called the father of our faith. Lot is now connected to Abram, who becomes Abraham, God's man, God's covenant man. And Lot, because he was connected to Abram, was a righteous man. He himself was a man of faith, because our righteousness is according to our faith. So he was a righteous man. The New Testament tells us that over in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, and it says this concerning Lot. A lot of people don't know this about Lot. It says in verse 7, and delivered righteous Lot. Everybody say righteous Lot. See, he wasn't wicked Lot. He was righteous Lot. In other words, he was a Christian. That's what makes us a Christian today, right? He was a child of God. He was a believer. You don't become a righteous person in the sight of God unless you are a believer. So he was a believer in the God of Abraham. He had faith. He was a righteous man. And the Bible says, and God delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man, says it again to get it across to us. God wants you to know how he feels about Lot. That righteous man dwelling among them. Among what? Among the wicked. Tormented his righteous soul. So notice it says, righteous Lot, that righteous man, his righteous soul was tormented. Make no mistake about it, he was a believer. He was a fellow believer. He was a righteous man. And notice, he was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, because he was dwelling among them and seeing their wicked ways, their wicked works. The Bible says it tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. So it bothered him. It bothered him. All the sin, all the dirty stuff that filled the society that he was living in, the city that he was living in, it oppressed him. It tormented him. He hated it. He hated it. I'm reminded of the scripture over, I think it's in 1 Peter. It says to abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. Notice that his righteous soul was tormented because of all the fleshly lusts. Bible says, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. So inside him, he's got this war going on, man. He's being tempted. He's, you know, that's all part of being tormented. He's being tempted by the sin. He's being tempted by all the temptations and all the wicked stuff. He's a righteous man. He's trying to resist all these feelings and all these thoughts. And it's just, he can't get these things out of his mind. It's around him all the day. It's, I mean, he's dealing with it from day to day. And it's tormenting him. It's oppressing him. It's harassing him. And this happened to him while he was living in Sodom and Gomorrah. He had left his connection with Abraham. He had left the father of his faith and left, we could say, the church that Abraham had established, because Abraham really was like a pastor who established a church and had like 300 members in his church. And you see that in Genesis chapter 14, Genesis 14, and in verse 14, this is talking about the time when some kings came to overthrow the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they came in and they took captive the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot was one of the people that was taken captive. Abram heard about it, and notice what it says here in Genesis 14:14. Now, when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. What in the world is this? 318 trained servants. Trained servants. What are you doing here today? You're being trained. You're being equipped. You're being trained for the work of the ministry, aren't you? Trained to serve. To serve in the kingdom of God. To serve the King of Kings. Abraham had them all trained. They were all trained servants. And apparently they're all skillful at fighting. Because they went in and they were able to deliver the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, including Lot and all those that belonged to Lot. And Abraham went in as 318, and he defeated these armies. I mean, these were some of the elite special forces. I mean, these guys were amazing servants. They were mighty people of faith. So he had this tremendous fellowship of faith, this family of faith, 318 trained servants. Lot was a part of that family. Lot was a part of all that. But what happened? As time went on, Lot began to see that he was increasing in wealth and things. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 13, we're right there, Genesis 13. And in verse 2, it says, Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver and gold. Verse 5, Lot also went with Abram. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. The Canaanites and the Perizzites are a type of demonic powers. Now, they're the people of the nation, but they're a picture for us under the new covenant of demonic powers. And so there's this strife going on between Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. And so what do you have when you have strife? You got demonic activity. Demons are getting in there. Well, Abram, the man of faith who's discerning, recognizes this. And in verse 8, so Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me. Abraham doesn't want strife. So we know right now he's not the one that's causing the strife. Is he? How many people know Lot owes Abraham his life? If there's any kind of uncertainty about how something should go, the way something should be done, I think it would be right for Lot to defer to Abraham, don't you think? Being it is Abraham's house and everything that Lot has been able to receive and have is the result of the help that he received through Abram, right? But that's not happening. Lot's causing strife, arguing. There's strife going on. Verse 9, Abram says to Lot, is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. This was a fatal mistake in the life of Lot. Life looks good for Lot. He's got all the money. He's got all the stuff. He's got all the possessions. He is prospering. He's got all this going on. He's a righteous man. He's a God-fearing man, just like Abram. And so he looks and thinks he doesn't need Abram anymore. He doesn't need this church family anymore. He don't need to be around these people of faith. It looks so good over here. It is so beautiful, and I've got all this wealth and all this money and all this influence, all this power. I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to pitch my tent among the wicked. So that day to day, the only ones that I see and associate with are people that are lesser than me. But that can make you feel pretty important about yourself, right? That can make you feel good about yourself. A lot of times, people, in order to make themselves feel good about themselves, they hang out with people that are lesser than themselves. People that aren't as smart. They don't want to be around smarter people, that's for sure. They don't want to hang around with people that are stronger than them or better than them or anything. They want to hang around with weaker people because then they're the big fish in the pond. But God wants to take you and throw you in the ocean so you can grow up. He wants you to grow up. We don't always have to be the big fish in the pond. Some people, they get to a point in their spiritual stature and their spiritual understanding that they're so mature and they're so amazing, they're so wonderful that they just don't fit anymore. They just don't fit anymore around the people of God. They've gotten better than them. They have a superior, high-minded attitude about themselves. And of course, that is pride and that is deception, and pride always goes before a fall, right? So, you know, I'm great, I'm wonderful. I don't need this connection, so I'm going to just hang around with all these people out here. And what begins to happen? Next thing you know, Lot's life begins to deteriorate. He's a righteous man. He's not a wicked man. But he's associating with evil company. And it's corrupting him. And the last thing we hear about Lot is that all he has is a cave to dwell in. And he's got two pregnant daughters that are pregnant through incest. He is a man that is confused and tormented, living isolated up in a cave somewhere in complete poverty. A man that had abundance. A man that was blessed as long as he was connected to the blessing. As long as he was connected to people of like faith. As long as he associated with the righteous. That righteous man got stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. But when he disconnected, he got weaker and weaker and weaker and ended up in poverty in a cave with nothing but shame and condemnation. That's where he ended up. Now, I want you to just look at that scripture again, verse 6. Genesis 13, 6. Now the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. So he says, well, they had to separate. Look, their possessions were so great they couldn't dwell together. Well, let's go back to Acts, to the early church, in Acts chapter 4, and notice what it says in verse 32. It says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Lot started looking and said, this is mine. And they wouldn't even have this if it wasn't for me. And if I didn't bring this to the table, this never would have happened. This really is the result of me. And he starts looking and comparing and starts separating what's his from what's... See, he no longer saw himself as a part of the body. Now, it was his stuff. Yeah, once you start getting that attitude... this is mine. This is the result of me. This really belongs to me. I did this. I've done more than them. And you're comparing. Oh, yeah, there's not going to be any room for you. You're going to be pushed out. You're going to get too big for your britches. And you're going to be pushed out. There's going to be strife. There's going to be problems. And you're going to need to go. You're going to need to go. And there's some people that have needed to go. Because we can't have strife. Because we don't want Canaanites and parasites in the house of God. But Canaanites and parasites get to come in the house of God if there's all kinds of strife and bickering and nonsense going on among isolated believers. So we can't have that. So it's better, hey, if that's how you're going to be, you need to leave. We need to keep unity. We need to keep the peace. We need to keep it where we're growing one another up and we have an atmosphere where people are getting stronger and the blessing of God is in the house. Can you say amen? Amen? So the early church didn't have this problem. Didn't matter how much stuff they had. They weren't dividing it up and saying, this is mine and that's yours. And they weren't comparing. It wasn't all that stuff that causes strife. Unfortunately, Lot separated from his blessing connection. And he ended up in a very, very bad situation. It's a great lesson to learn from.
I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Lot was righteous too. Lot was a righteous man. Lot was raised by the father of our faith, Abram. Lot was around some of the most skillful people of faith. 318 people that knew how to fight the fight of faith. I'll tell you right now, when they went into battle against those kings, it wasn't their physical might and power that overthrew five kings. 318 men did not overthrow five kings because they were good at using a sword. These were all people of faith. They were skillful in the faith of God. And as a result of their faith, they went in there and they overthrew those kings. That's what Lot was around. But when he separated from the family, became an isolated body part, he began to die. He began to die. Too many Christians are withering and dying on the vine because they're isolated. They're not connecting themselves. Jesus is my Lord. I got Jesus. That's all I need. It's not the Bible. That's not the truth. You're believing lies. You need the Bible. You need to believe what God says. You need to follow his instructions and recognize you need the people around you. You need this church. If this is where God has planted you, and I believe he has, then this is where you need to connect and you need to associate. And you, brother, sister, you need to get to know one another. Amen? You need to do it. Don't wait for someone to come to you. Nobody shakes my hand in that church. Well, go shake someone's hand then. What in the world are you waiting for? Well, I'm used to talking to Charlie over here because, you know, Charlie and I, we have so much alike. We're so much alike. Well, find someone that's not like you. Find someone better than you. Better than me? What do you mean by that? Are you saying there's people in here better than me? Yep. Find them. What am I saying? Stronger in faith than you. They know more about God than you. God wants to connect you with people that consistently walk with Him, that have some discipline about them, some spiritual discipline. That's the folks you want to get around. Find them. Connect with them. Get to know them. Associate with them. Call them. Say, can I get your phone number? I think I might need your phone number. Praise God. I've had people say to me, Pastor, I was going through hell on earth, but I didn't want to call you because I didn't want to bother you. I didn't want to bother you. I tell people, you're not bothering me. But you know what? If you had a company that you had been associated with and connecting with, you could have called them too. And maybe they could have. But instead, no, you're just going to fight the whole thing by yourself. A modern day Hercules. Let's take on the whole world. No, friend. Say, you need people to, you probably wouldn't even need me half the time if you had a good bunch of folks that you knew really well and said, hey, man, this is what's going on. Let's agree together. You want to come over and pray in tongues? You want to come over and read the Bible together? Hey, man, let's go somewhere. Let's go shopping together. We could shop for clothes and talk about Jesus. That's fun. That makes shopping fun. See, that's what makes fun for me, just shopping by itself. Now, some people could just go shopping, that'd be fine. But some people would like to have Jesus when they shop because that would help them. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Praise God forever! No more bad company. We're going to surround ourselves with God company. Somebody say God company. No more bad company. Praise God forever and ever. Hallelujah. Stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.